Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 221. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
Pretty well.
Good.
Going good.
Good, good, good. I like to hear that.
I'm blinded by your trophy.
You like that?
You smile. Look at you smile over there. Like, you're like, my trophy.
Oh, this little thing?
This little tiny thing. You got a huge one over there? Like, my little tiny one. We're talking trophies.
Yeah. Mm. Best dad jokes, 2025. Yeah.
Austin's never going to let us live that
down. 2026 and 2027.
We almost brought the bloody lion. I was like, nah, I don't want to bring that up. I'm like, oh no. Gosh, he blew the bloody lion out of the water.
Oh, man.
He annihilated that.
The bloody lion was quite the issue. I'll say it that way.
Yep.
But we are doing good. We're recording, right?
Uh-huh. So. We're together.
Awesome. Well, let's get right to it. I'm excited to see what this topic is about. Mm-hmm. Sean, what are we talking about?
Well, this is my pick, but it is inspired by Pete Peterson. So thank you, Pete. It is Magonia, Hidden Cloud Realm. And if interested, please go check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Magonia. Have you, either one of you ever heard of this place before?
No.
Never.
I have heard of it, but I didn't know much about it. I knew, you know, Cloud Realms and whatever. It's interesting. I'll put that. And when Pete sent that, I was like, I started watching videos and I'm like, man, this is way deeper than I ever thought. But Magonia is a mythical cloud realm from medieval Europe. European folklore, first described in a polemical treatise titled De Grandine et Tronitus on Hail and Thunder, in other words, written by Caligulan Bishop Agobard of Lyon in 815. Wow. Yesteryear of 815. According to Agobard's account, Magonia was believed to be a hidden land floating in the clouds, inhabited by aerial sailors who traveled in cloud ships, interpreted as storm clouds, and collaborated with Frankish tempestri or weather magi to steal grain from fields during magically induced storms. These sailors were said to carry the damaged crops back up to their realm, a practice that was seen as a form of payment to the storm makers.
Hmm.
Sounds like an acid trip.
Sounds made up.
815. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. Because even in this story, I think they're, and I've got some of the stuff, they're like, if you believe it, you're completely crazy. What would make you believe any of this stuff? It's like, well, why are we talking about it then?
Yeah, it's...
No yawning. There'll be no yawning.
Sorry.
No yawning.
The clouds made you sleepy.
I keep seeing references to weather magic.
Mm-hmm.
And how they sort of say that it's not the source of the weather magic, even though that's what people want to believe.
Yeah. Agobard, it says in 1815 when he wrote his essay, he denounced Magonia and all the weather magic that derived from it.
What? And then why bring
that's
it up?
That's what he says. Hey.
Why bring it up?
I know.
So it's funny because this, you know, something back then was controlling the weather. Now there's, you know, you think, oh, we're so much further than that. No, we're not. They talk about like weather manipulation, and which they say they do that for like crops and, you know, any areas that are, you know, having drought or whatever. But it is kind of interesting to think about this as like magic back then. But Agobard strongly denounced the belief, like you said, in Magonia and associated weather magic, arguing that such phenomena were caused solely by God, not by supernatural beings or pagan practices. He criticized the widespread conviction among the populace, noting that many people, including those who claimed to have been captured and taken to the realm, held these beliefs with great fervor. His writings were lost for centuries until rediscovered in 1605.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it says, Magonia was a hidden realm which floated somewhere in the clouds. Its inhabitants, called aerial sailors, would visit the lands below, bringing storms and rains and steal crops for themselves. This hidden land was created by four entities or groups known as the Mambo.
Mambo number five?
Yep. Well, it's four.
Oh, four.
Well, still.
The soothsayer, the magi, and the forest woman to escape ignorant persecution. It was rumored that this was the abode of powerful weather spirits who could be easily angered or appeased with sincere offerings such as bread and cakes.
Oh.
Hmm. That sounds, that would appease me.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever said God. It also gets into, did you guys see any UFO type stuff and UFO-y talk about it?
A little bit, yeah.
So the concept of Magonia has since been revived and reinterpreted, particularly by UFOlogist Jacques Vallée, who used the term in his 1969 book, Passport to Magonia, to describe a hypothetical, quote-unquote, other dimension from which mysterious entities in folklore and modern UFO sightings might originate. This connection has led to Magonia being associated with UFO phenomena, which some drawing parallels between the medieval descriptions of skyships and modern reports of unidentified flying objects. The name itself may derive from the old coestrian word Mayon, meaning field, with the suffix IA implying belonging to God or from God.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
It is.
Hmm. Thanks, Pete. Making our minds think.
Did he say how he heard of it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if he did, I forget.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I think he just said something about like, hey, you guys should check this out.
Hmm.
I was like, done and done.
Hmm. Yeah. It's it is interesting. It's kind of crazy at the same time.
Well, I feel like it's that time in our history where they didn't really know they only knew what they knew. So they didn't have a whole lot of scientific explanations for things and why things were the way they were and how they technically worked. So during that time, a lot of it was given to gods,
mm-hmm.
gods of fertility, gods of war, gods of happiness. You know, I mean,
there's gods for everything.
So to explain hailstorms and thunderstorms and, you know, these pop-up weather events that would destroy their fields of corn or whatever, this is what they came up with that seemed logical at the time to them.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how they're connecting it with the UFO type stuff. I really mm-hmm. think that's an interesting way to connect it into modern times.
Mm-hmm.
It says Vallée's theory suggests the UFO phenomenon is a controlled social construct or a self-cloaking and correcting system that influences humans. It even borders on seducing humans, this says, influencing human consciousness and societal development, potentially keeping humanity distracted from deeper truths. He posits that the imagery of UFOs, such as beams of light and dialogues with strange creatures, is not created by external technology, but instead triggered by the collective human psyche, with the mind projecting its own symbolic framework onto the phenomenon. This idea is echoed by other researchers such as Nigel Graydon, who is the Landing Lights of Magonia, explores the connections between UFOs, fairies, and the concept of Magonia as a realm from which some return while others vanish. The green alien, often depicted on the cover of Passport to Magonia, symbolizes the idea that entities reported as green little men or little green men, fairies, demons, or angels, are all manifestations of the same underlying phenomenon, adapted to fit the cultural expectations of the observer. This concept implies that the aliens are not physical beings from another planet, but rather archetypal figures from the collective unconscious, possibly serving as a psychological or metaphysical mechanism. The theory challenges the conventional understanding of UFOs and suggests that the phenomenon may be a profound reflection of human consciousness and its interaction with the unknown. That's pretty wild if you mm-hmm. stop and think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And deep.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally different avenue of thought with these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, just watching various programs and that kind of stuff on ancient civilizations, they all have like a being, you know, depicted on walls and stuff and paintings, yeah, like hieroglyphics, true, of like a spaceman.
Yeah,
had, right, you know, came from the sky in a ship, and they have, you know, a helmet of sorts on and possibly like a breathing machine attached to them.
Something's got to be there. So, I mean, something's got to be true or kind of true.
So, yeah, those little human sorcerers that conjured the storms that they were saying were the cloud ships are the Tempestari. The Tempestari, or Tempest Raisers, were believed to be the weather magi who could summon storms at will, often in league with the Magonians. The Magonians would then descend during these storms to collect the fallen crops, with the storms being seen as a form of payment for their services. This belief was widespread enough that Agobard reported instances where villagers captured individuals they claimed were Magonians, bringing them before judgment. He intervened to prevent their execution, arguing the belief was a superstition. The concept of Magonia may have roots in earlier traditions, with similar stories of sky dwellers, beings, and storm-related phenomenon appearing in earlier medieval Irish annals from the 8th century, predating Agobard's writing. Some scholars suggest the name Magonia might be linked to the Mycorcan port of Port Mahon, known as Portus Magonus in antiquity. This is getting really made up.
That sounds fake.
Doesn't it? Potentially, all of this sounds fake, right?
Sounds very fake.
Sorry, Pete. Potentially indicating a belief that people from that region had acquired the ability to navigate the skies. The belief in Magonians and Tempestri persisted in various forms, with similar accounts reported in England, 18th century Canada, and even 19th century Texas, often tied to folklore or sensationalized newspaper reports. Isn't that wild, though?
Texas.
Hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, isn't that
really
wild? Yeah. So they just, Agobard says it's pagan superstition,
yeah,
heresy, arguing that storms were caused by God rather than supernatural beings, like we said before. So, yeah, he, even though he perpetuated it, he said, it's a bunch of bullocks.
Which, yeah, he wasn't on board.
Well, I mean, we have the ability to fly in machines in the sky. Yeah. Who's this to say back way when that they didn't have that technology that was lost through the years,
yeah,
and rediscovered by us. A lot of speculations in here.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, like ancient carvings and depictions that, mm-hmm, has, yeah, aliens and spaceships.
All I could think was, yeah, butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high. Yeah. Take a look. It's in a book.
Well, even like, yeah, like in the, 1500s, you know, they said that they saw something in the sky that, mm-hmm, they can't, I mean, I something's look at, up there.
Like Orient history and stuff, talking about and depicting dragons and things of that nature. I mean, were they living creatures or, right, was it a machine?
This is a quote that they said is kind of interesting that makes it keeps playing with the symbology. People, when they see clouds in the air, say it is air vapor and a sign of rain. But there is more than they suppose. For there is in the sky another world made by wizards and witches who, when they died, were not admitted to heaven. And so they made a world for themselves, which was a sea lake in it. Has a sea lake in it. And when the weather is dark and clouds fly before the storm, these clouds are boats full of hail, and in them are the wizards and witches who throw the hail at one another. It's just a big hail fight. And,
oh, hail.
And so, as it falls to earth and does great harm. When this happens, one should invoke the spirit of thunder, which is Tituno or Tinea or Tignia.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
All right.
Yeah, and then they go into how they talk about how it's foolishness and craziness, and if you believe it, you're basically stupid.
You're on an acid trip.
That's crazy.
This is cute, though. It says, reader, is there not a charm in this conception? And will you not sometimes recall it when you sit at an evening and look at the rosy golden sunset? It may be the trysting tree and see the cloudlets steering in the fiery sea, and wish that you, too, could take passage therein for the beautiful, faraway, forgotten city of Magonia, whose walls are of aerial amethyst and citadels of vapory emerald. Well, when you put it that way, sign me up. Sounds like fun, right? That's pretty wild. But yeah. So there's definitely writing on it, but it's like, but even in the writing, they're like, you know, this is a joke, right?
Who knows?
So
who knows? It's interesting.
Either it way. Is yeah. interesting. Thank you, Pete, for letting us. I mean, like I said, even if it's total bollocks, because it may not be, you know, right? I mean, it may not be.
Yeah.
you're not finding her. It's fun.
I still believe it's horny hedgehogs.
Oh. Well, of course you would think that.
Speaking of hedgehogs, there's a podcast I listened to, and I haven't listened to the episode, but the topic was hedgehogs.
And was it really?
This is a paranormal podcast, and it was hedgehogs and then two other type animals, and I just was like, okay, I got to listen to this, but I probably
you got to, right?
See if she mentions horny hedgehogs, yeah.
Making crop circles.
That's how it's done, baby.
Well, anything else? Are we done on this topic?
If I had anything else, it would be completely made up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll go with...
How about that's a no?
All right, we'll go with no. And Nate, help us out.
Well, we're lucky because the hill didn't hit us in the Magonia. So.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That's a wrap.
All right. Man, never know with this guy. Never know what he's going to come up with.
Little treasures over here.
Well, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini 221 and our discussion on the Magonia Hidden Cloud Realm. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.